Just a couple of comments. They're sort of related to where Johnny started and then what Liv was saying and things that we've been singing and praying. And it's good to know that his grace is sufficient for us, isn't it? It's kind of easy to say these things when you've kind of heard them many times, but it's good to know in here to discover. Charlotte's phone is glad to hear this news. Yeah, that's the right response. Well done, darling. His grace is sufficient for us in this moment, all of the time, in the different things that we encounter. We continue to discover this reality. Things have to work in practice, don't they? This is what Liv was talking about. His grace is sufficient for us all of the time because of who he is, because of his strength. And I was thinking this morning, this truth keeps coming to mind recently. And it's just this, and it's a connected thought. But we also discover that underneath, Joshua, underneath are his everlasting arms. And sometimes when we think of that, we can have this image, maybe some people, this image, you know, that image of Atlas, and he's holding up the world like this, and it's like the weight of the world is on his shoulders. And sometimes we can have that image, and it's like, no, it's not like that. So underneath are the everlasting arms. This is the image. And he carries us when we need to be carried, and his grace is sufficient for us, and he enables us, and he strengthens us, and he equips us in this ongoing reality of relationship with him. And he continues to be, in practice, in reality, our strength in the moment, isn't it? Morning, Chris. It's good. It's good. God is sufficient for us, and we are so very grateful. I'm going to read some things to us now. This is from Philippians chapter 3, and we'll just jump in at verse 7, and if you've got a Bible, you can turn to it, and we'll read down together. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that you are the great reality. You are. And in this moment here, we thank you that you are present with us by your Spirit. We thank you that you yourself are our sufficiency. You are our life and our health and our strength. And you continue to pour out life, living water. We thank you for who you are. And we embrace this moment with you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your church, for your children, for your activeness in the world. We thank you that you alone, our God. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. And it says this: but whatever things were gained to me, Those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Wonderful. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful. Within these verses, and this is kind of what we're going to talk about, we're going to move around a little bit, but I've been thinking about this, and we find in these verses, as you read through, you'll find a variety of things, but you will find these things. You will find a life of faith. Amen? You will find a life of faith. You will find this ongoing exaltation and reality of Paul's life. You will find this heart, if I can put it like this, this desire and this passion for others. And it's kind of summarized in this way. That you could say I, or we could say we, but that we might know him. And if I think now, in this moment, as I look at all your lovely faces, and I think, what is my heart and my passion for us as a collective and as individuals together as we move forward? And essentially and primarily, it is this, that we might know him. And in this knowing, there is this ongoing continuance, isn't there? That we continue to go on knowing him in the moment, in the every continuing now of our lives, that we would be knowing him. We have a life of faith. And all of these things are linked together. A life of faith, knowing him. And then he says this, as we read down the last part of those verses, that we would be pressing on. And all of these things go together, don't they? Yes. You are all here with me this morning. A life of faith. We're going to talk a bit about this because it matters, doesn't it? Faith. A life of faith, knowing him, pressing on together. And so let's read this. We're going to move. We find in thinking about faith, thinking about a life of faith, and if you know your Bible much at all, it won't be a surprise. I'm going to read a little bit from Hebrews chapter 11. Because it talks a lot about people who lived a life of faith. And then we're going to home in on somebody in particular for a few minutes. And so be reading from the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11. Says this. Now faith is the assurance or the substance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for or expected. There's an expectancy. Faith is the assurance, the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How can you have a conviction about something not seen? Faith. Faith is not just a nice idea. It's a reality. It says here, verse 3, by faith we understand. It's interesting, isn't it? By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. By the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And it goes on, it starts talking about lots of different people that did amazing things by faith. They lived by faith. And then we find here in this beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, if you like, the evidence of the invisible. And there is. There is, if you like, evidence. There is assurance. There is faith. There is reality. And we find within these verses, and even when we think about this, the worlds were prepared, and this is a key element, by the word of God. In the beginning was the word. The world was prepared by the word of God. There is always, for there to be faith, in our response of faith, there is first the word and the speaking out of God himself. And he speaks in various ways. And we hear and we find a response and an equipping of faith. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful, I think, way to live. And then, so we read and we find what faith is in some measure here. And then it says, by faith. So there is the word of God. There is that assurance and that substance, that reality of those things then hoped for. And then we are enabled to live by faith. By faith. And we're just going to look a little bit at that. Hebrews chapter 12, and let me just read down this bit here. We're going to Abraham. Okay, Abraham has been kind of called the father of faith. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just going to read you these other verses. This is Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, after he's talked about all of these people of faith, and we're going to switch back to it in a minute, but listen, you've got all of these people that have lived a life of faith, and they've moved in response to faith. And it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance, every weight, and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Again, in these first verses, these few verses, chapter 12, therefore, here again, there is a life of faith. Find it, have a look, check me out. There is a life of faith. There is this knowing him, read it. There is this knowing him, and there is this advance, this pressing on, this going forward. Now, going back into chapter 11, it says this, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, who's this? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, there was a call, there was a speaking, when he was called, he obeyed. Obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. This is a key point, so we're going to talk about it. Not knowing. There is a grace and a beauty in not knowing, which is tricky for some of us, because we like to know the end from the beginning. And we don't, do we? No, Matt, we don't. But this is actually a good thing. And he went out not knowing. Here's the thing. I was chatting to somebody recently, lovely family, and they have heard a call. That's what Abraham got. They have heard a call from God, and they feel encouraged by him to start a particular initiative. And this is clear, and it's in their hearts, and they know, and it's like, this is God speaking to me, and they're exercised about it, and it's just like, yeah, we're going to run with this. And then they got to a bit of a point, and they were like, well, before we go out, I'd quite like to know that this bit is in place, and this bit is already prepared, and I can see that this bit is going to be okay, and I'd quite like to know the end from the beginning first. And it was tripping them up a little bit. And then they realised, no, God has spoken the call, and then he's like, go out not knowing. I'm not going to give you the answer to all of these questions ahead of time. We'll get to them, and then I will be the answer to those questions in the moment when we get there. But what you need to do right now is go out. Step out. And it's like, oh, that's easy then. Not always, is it? Sometimes that's a right challenge. But God is like, I'm not going to give you the end from the beginning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you by the hand, one step at a time. And you'll step out in faith with me. And then you'll step out in faith again with me. And we will continue in this way. And in this way, we will advance. So there is the word of God, there's the call, there is a response of obedience to step out with him in faith, and in this way we advance. Is this making sense? So all of these things, they go together. And there is this, what I think of as the beauty of the unknown. The beauty of the unknown is that we walk with the known. That's him. It's a relationship with him. Let's jump back to Genesis. And this is chapter 11. So this is the same story, thinking about Abraham. And we'll jump back and we'll just read down from Genesis chapter 11. And I'm going to jump in at verse 30. So again, we find now same guy, but here he is, Abraham. And we find these other people, Sarai, his wife, and Terah, his dad. And we're going to jump in on this story, well-known story. So verse 30, you might think this is a funny place to start, but it's not. Sarai was barren, Abraham's wife. She had no child. Whoa. Terah, Abraham's dad, Terah took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran his grandson and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife. And they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. were going from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran. It's just over halfway there. They went as far as Haran and settled there. Amazing. The days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. They set out from Ur of the Chaldees. They got just over halfway there. And they came to this place, and maybe they thought, this is nice. This looks like a good place to settle down. And we've got everything that we need here. And Terah says, get here. And it's interesting to note, it seems to me, that Terah died in the place that he settled. Do you know that can happen? It can. You get to a settled place and it's just like, this is nice. I'll just stop here. There ceases to be the advance of faith, the ongoing activity of a life of faith, and it's just like, I'll just stay here. And it's a picture, but here it is. Terah died in the place that he settled. And let me read down now. This is Genesis chapter 12. I'm just going to keep moving. And from the beginning. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And he had settled with his father in Haran, 75 years old. He had another 100 years to go, but he wasn't a young man. And the Lord calls him. This is the call. And now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated, because they'd been there for a while, all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And thus they came to Canaan. They arrived at the place that God had called them to. How did they do this? They went out not knowing. They went out with God. They went out by faith. And it, again, it's fascinating, I think, to me, because you see these real people in real moments of their actual lives, and God speaks a call into their life. And he's like, Abraham, get out. Get out from your country. It become his country. Get out from your country. Get out from your settled place. Get out from your familiar comforts. God really arrested me some time ago with this thought. It's like, man, comfort will kill you. It's like, I'm not looking for struggle, but there is a danger connected to comfort, to a settled place. I'm just going to settle down here and just enjoy my retirement. And I'm just going to like chill. And it's like, and it's spiritually, it's a real danger. It can be. Because it's just like, I'm not going to advance anymore. Where's the Caleb spirit? I'm not going to continue to go with God into all the inheritance that he has given me, because I've got this far and I'm quite happy with it. And I'll just settle down here. And it's like, oh, be careful. Comfort will kill you. And it does, doesn't it? We can get fat and apathetic and stuff like that. Go out. Go out from your history sometimes. History can be a place where we stay. And it's just like God comes, and again, it's the speaking of God, the word of God, the call of God, and he's like, come on, out. Get out from that place, from that familiar friend, maybe. Get out, and this is why I started in verse 30. Get out from your brokenness. Abraham and Sarah, no children, brokenness. And God speaks, he's like, come on, get out, come with me, and I will lead you. And this is what God says to him, I will lead you. And there's this image of being led and being led by the hand. And he says, go out to a place that I will show you. He doesn't just say, I'll give you the GPS coordinates and I'll see you when you get there. No. It's like, I will show you the place. How does he do that? Come on, Luke. Watch this. Stand up, fella. Watch this. See this? This is how it works. I'll show you. This is good, isn't it? We're just going to come back around here. He says, I'll show you. And what he does, thanks, Luke. What he does, he takes you by the hand and he leads you on a journey. And he takes you there. He said, I'll show it to you. He'll show it to you because he's with you in every successive moment. And he leads you by the hand and he takes you there. To the point that he had intended for you from the beginning. But where was the confidence? Where was the faith? It was in the relationship with the one who is leading you. That's our point of confidence. It's not even, if I could put it like this, in the, if you like, the concept, the word, the spoken. It is in the ongoing active of the relationship with God. And it's like, I'll take you there. So I'll tell you, get out, come with me. That's what Jesus said, follow me, come with me, and I will take you there, personally. How about that for a guide? Isn't it? Jesus himself. When you go out in faith, you do not go alone. Good news. You don't. You go with him. And he takes you. Corrie ten Boom said this. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Where's the emphasis? The relationship. Isn't it? It is. Beautiful. Always, Luke knows this as well because he's done XCC recently. We talked about this recently a bit. Adventure. Faith. I mean, it's just a bit cheesy, this bit, but it's true. Faith, it is an adventure. Why? Because for an adventure to be an adventure, it has to have the element of the unknown. Otherwise, it's not an adventure. It's like, by definition, that's what an adventure is. It has the element of the unknown in it. And God brings us into this place in himself where we adventure with him. We must keep going. I've said this before. I'll give you this. Oh, I'm not going to have time really for this. Let me say this. Faith, thought about this years ago, faith is like a land without fences. It's like without boundaries, without limitations, without unnecessary containment. Why? Because we continue to go with him, uncontained by our own restrictions, our own limitations, our own comfort, our own history. It's like, get out and come with me. And continue to come with me. You know, when we live like this and we hear God's speaking, God's call in our lives, it's remarkable what can happen. Do you remember Philip? is in the context of revival at a point in his life. And it's all kicking off and people are getting healed and saved. And it's just like, amazing, it's a revival situation. And then, cool, God speaks and he's like, Philip, he takes Philip and he introduces him, he takes him to one bloke in the desert. And you just think, you wouldn't do that, would you? It's like revival, one bloke in the desert. Where are you going to go? And it's just like, but what's going on for Philip? Philip is continuing to be willing to go with God. And God opens up a continent through his obedience. It's amazing. But we must continue to go with God in faith, in obedience, in response to him, hand in hand. I'll show you the land. Poetry. Amazing. Paul. Apostle Paul. Again, read Hebrews 11 again. There's lots of examples. The Apostle Paul, he continued to go with God, hand in hand. And sometimes he would have a plan, 5-year plan. Work really well, don't they? No. So Apostle Paul, and he's just like, I'm going to go to such a place. And God speaks, and he's like, oh no, actually, we'll go here instead. But what's going on in that dynamic? There's a relationship with God where God is continuing actively to communicate by his spirit to a life, and he's just like, oh, obedience to God will go his way. And he continues all his life to go out with God. To go out from whatever it is. It doesn't matter. The point is that he goes with God. And so God leads him by the hand. Directs him in his actual life. This is how it works, isn't it? Yeah. Wonderful. Here's a bit of Oswald Chambers. He said this, and I love this, I might give it to you twice. He said, we have to get out of the old pagan way of guiding ourselves by our heads and into the Christian way of being guided by faith in a personal God, whose methods are a perpetual contradiction to our every preconceived notion. Yes, Oswald. Look, here you go, listen. We have to. There's an imperative. A life of faith. We have to get out of the old pagan way of guiding ourselves by our heads and into the Christian way of being guided by faith in a personal God whose methods are a perpetual contradiction to our every preconceived notion. Do you reckon you've got any preconceived notions? I reckon you might. I reckon I might. And it is entirely possible to live within the context and the confines of my own preconceived notions. It's like, I'm 50 now. I've got a lot of experience and I've seen this and been here and done that. And I've developed all these preconceived ideas and notions. And I've limited God to the confines of my own experience. And he's like, no. No, he is God, and he doesn't work according to my preconceived ideas, because I am not God, and his thoughts and his ways, they are so much other than my own, aren't they? Amen. They are, and I love the fact that he, in this sense, so often seems to work in contradiction to my preconceived notions. He won't allow me to stay in that limited place. And he's like, no. No, man. Faith. It's like a land without fences, without boundaries, without limitation. And he takes us by the hand and continues to lead us. To lead us forward. And we continue in obedience to go with him. Amen. A life of faith. A confidence is in the one that we know. Not just know about, but we know personally. And he's like, come on, Tyler, we'll keep moving. And it's just like, he'll take us by the hand. This is not just a nice idea. This is faith outworking in our ordinary lives. And it is an adventure, isn't it, Lee? It's an adventure because you don't necessarily know what's coming. How do you feel about that? Some of us are in a right panic at that point. It's like, no, Lord, I do want to know the end from the beginning. I do like a 5-year plan, and I do really want to know ahead of time. And he's like, yeah, but what I want is I want to walk with you, in relationship with you, in the ongoing moment of our closeness. I want to be with you. So it's his grace and his love and his kindness and his mercy that we don't always know everything ahead of time. But we do know him. And we can continue to go with him. And sometimes, like Josh is finding, life throws a curveball at us. And still, it's like, the way hasn't changed. The way hasn't changed. Hand in hand, I'm going to lead you. You're going to come with me by faith, and I'm going to lead you through that set of circumstances, and we're going to keep going. And as we do this, our closeness, our fellowship with him, it grows in richness and maturity. And sometimes God leads us through some right tricky stuff. But if we go with him through those things, he uses it for enrichment. Amazing. Amazing. Faith. Get out and go with him. This is it. This is it. We will continue in this way. And God is so faithful, and he continues to speak. And he continues to enable us to know him, to hear him, and to go with him. This is our safe place. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to finish in a minute.